It's good to see your presence tonight. We have a whole lot missing, and it's like sometimes there's more on the left side, and other times there's more on the right side, and tonight my left side wins. But it's good that you're here, and we miss those that are away, and looking forward to seeing them back soon. We'd like to study this evening on the subject, if you had one more day to live, what would you do? If we knew for sure that we were going to die tomorrow evening at 6:20, what would be our actions? We noticed in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter and the first verse, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, "Thus said the Lord, set your house in order, or you shall die and not live." And so here Hezekiah, who was king over God's people, was very ill, and he was told that he was going to soon die, to set his house in order. And so we don't know when we're going to die. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it may be several years from now. Back on September the 29th, 1986, I had a bad heart attack and almost died. I was putting sealer on my driveway, and it was a very hot day like today, about 90 degrees, and when I was finishing and washing up, I couldn't breathe. I thought about laying down in the swing that was there, but I decided I better go in and let my wife know, and I continued couldn't breathe. And I told her, and she called the life squad, and in a few minutes the life squad came, and they used those paddles, and they shocked me back, and went to the hospital, and for almost a month there, I didn't hardly know what was going on. I was out of it, and they had to shock me several times in the hospital, and doctors told my wife that they'd done all they could do. They didn't really expect me to get better, and they discussed on where I would be buried, and wife went and bought a grave plot over in Westchester. But then, I guess it was a few days later, I started getting better, and I got better rather quickly. I remember the first time that I tried to walk, I was so weak, I couldn't stand up. I had lost 40 pounds, I hadn't eaten any real food for about a month, and I was out of it for about a month. But we don't know when we're going to die. That's about almost 25 years ago. And I remember when I got to the hospital, I didn't think it was that bad at first. And I prayed to God that if it was His will that I would live longer. I wanted to see my grandchildren grow up. And I was thinking about Hezekiah. The Lord gave him 15 years. Well, it's been almost 25 years since I had the heart attack. And so I'm thankful to God that He allowed me to live longer. But death may be a very scary thought for each of us. It's experience of something that we haven't faced before. We don't know exactly what's going to happen or what's going to take place. We know what the scriptures say. I'm sure that each of us have wondered what death holds in store for us. How will I die? What's going to happen when I die? Am I going to have a heart attack? Is cancer going to cause me to die? A fire, an automobile accident, drowning, or maybe of old age? We don't know when we're going to die or how we're going to die at this time. This is a very disturbing thought, as each and every one of us knows that death will come. We notice in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, "And as is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment." And so death is an appointment of God. He's given us. We're going to die. We don't know when we're going to die. In our text, Hezekiah was told to set his house in order, as he would soon die. We're told the same thing in the New Testament concerning ourselves. In James 4, verse 13 through 15, says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor, appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." And so James says that life is like a vapor. It just vanishes away. Death soon comes. We don't know when Jesus is going to come and the end of time will be. He may come today or tomorrow. In Mark 13, verse 32 through 37, we know that recently there was a man who prophesied that the end of time was going to come at a certain day, at a certain time. Of course, he was a false prophet, and you think he'd prophesied before. But many people believed it. But it says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It's like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." And so we are warned that we're to watch and be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be ready for death. Many would think that being told that they would soon die would be a bad thing. But we notice that Hezekiah changed his attitude when told that he would soon die. Yes, he changed his thoughts, his attitude in life. The knowledge of death led him closer to God. He wept bitterly, and he changed his life and prayed to God for a longer life. In 2 Kings 20, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." And so Hezekiah prayed to God. He wept and asked God for a longer life. And God heard his prayer and answered his prayer. He said, "I'll give you 15 more years to live." The same should be true of us. We know that we may soon die and that we must keep our house in order. Yet the sad truth of the matter is that many of us think that we have many years to live, and later on we'll set our house in order. A lot of people, they have the attitude of the rich farmer. Let us take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I have many years left. The attitude of many people. With these thoughts in mind, we ask the question, if you had one more day to live, what would you do? What would you do if you knew that you would die this time tomorrow evening? This is a sobering thought. We'll give an account for the good or evil that I've done in this life. We're going to stand before Jesus in the judgment and give an account for our life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And so we're going to have to give an account in the judgment for everything that we do, good or evil, every secret thing. We can't hide from God. He knows our lives. He knows our thoughts. Will I stand approved of God or not in the judgment? This knowledge of death should provoke us to examine our lives and deeds to see whether our ways are God's ways. And so I need to examine myself and examine my life. Have I set my house in order? Am I living the way that God wants me to live? We know that what some need to do, a lot of people, some still need to believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Many need to believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God. This is more than just a mere mental acceptance and acknowledgement that Jesus is the Christ. Yes, a believer, we must believe to the point of obedience to the will of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so if I truly believe in Jesus, that He is the Son of God, that He is my Savior, then I'm going to obey whatever He commands. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so if we want to go to heaven, we must do the will of the Father, the will of God. Belief is related to action. In John 3:16, we know God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. And so many people need to believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He is who He said that He is, and that they need to obey Him. There are many that believe that there's a God, but they have no greater belief than is said of the demons. The Bible says the demons believe. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In James 2:19, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils or the demons also believe and tremble. The demons believe what many refuse to accept. In Luke 4:41, it says, the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And He rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that He was Christ. And so the demons confessed that He was the Son of God, that He was the Christ, the Messiah. And yet many people do not believe that today. The only way that obedience comes about is through the investigation of God's Word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so people need to hear the Word of God that they might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ. There are many who have turned a deaf ear through pride and prejudice to the Word of God. They reject God's Word. In Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And so many are like the Pharisees was we've been studied about. They reject Jesus as being the Son of God. They've closed their eyes and their ears to the truth. There are many who need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're lost in sin. They know that they need to obey, but they just keep putting it off. I'll obey tomorrow or next week or next year. And many times they put off until it's too late. Listen to this wise person of poetry. Procrastination is the thief of time and of souls. Many souls are lost because of procrastination. They put off their obedience. Romans 10:16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And so they have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. God so loved the world. He loves everyone. He wants everyone to be saved and go to heaven. He provides salvation for man. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants all to repent and obey him and serve him, that they might go to heaven. One might ask, what gospel is to be obeyed? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power to save. And so we need to obey the gospel. This is the gospel that was commissioned to the apostles. Jesus gave the great commission to the apostles. He said in Mark 16:15-16. And he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And those who believe and are baptized will be saved. One might ask, why must one obey the gospel of Christ? Well, man, we have sinned and we need forgiveness. Without obeying the gospel, one cannot be forgiven of their sins. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Also, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so man sins, and the wages of sin is eternal death, the destruction. Peter said that one must repent and be baptized to be saved. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so there's millions of people out here that need to hear the gospel and believe it and obey the gospel. They need to believe and be baptized, repent and be baptized. We have obeyed the gospel when we have been baptized into Christ. Romans 6:3-4 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even also should we walk in newness of life. And so baptism is in the likeness of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Those who refuse to obey the gospel are going to be lost. They're going to be punished eternally. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, do you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And so he's going to take vengeance on those who know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. After we've obeyed the gospel, we're children of God. We must live a faithful, dedicated life as children of God, setting our house in order, being faithful. We must be steadfast and zealous in our service to God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, be steadfast and unmovable in living the Christian life. God wants, he doesn't want us to be lukewarm like the Laodiceans. Alan preached a good lesson on this. The Laodicean, he says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Yes, he doesn't want us cold. He wants us to be hot, to be faithful in our service to him. We must get our priorities in order. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do we have our priorities in order? Do we have our house set in order? Are we putting first things first? Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so we must take up the cross and follow after Jesus. These are a few things that we should do if we had but one day to live. Everyone that is lost in sin need to believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some things that we would not do if we knew we only had one more day to live. With the knowledge of death, we wouldn't be busy hoarding of material things for a rainy day. We wouldn't be worrying about tomorrow and next year and 10 years down the road. We wouldn't be hoarding up things. We'd be ready for tomorrow if we were going to die. In Luke 12, verse 15, he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." In Luke 12, verse 19 and 20, "And I will say to my soul," now this was the rich farmer, "soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" And so if we knew for sure that we were going to die tomorrow at this time, we wouldn't be busy hoarding up things. Much of what we call security is covetousness, which is idolatry. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry." If we knew we were going to die at this time tomorrow, we wouldn't be committing these sins. We would also be wise to heed the warning that it's impossible to serve two masters. We wouldn't be trying to serve God and Satan at the same time. In Matthew 6 and 24, "No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And so if we only had one more day to live, we wouldn't be trying to serve Satan or mammon or riches. By seeking for the good life in the years to come would be foolishness if we had only 24 hours to live. We would not be selfish in using the talents that God has given us. In Matthew 25, verse 14, beginning, "The one talent man, he didn't use his talent or his abilities to serve his master. And it was taken from him, and he was cast into outer darkness." And so if we knew that we only had one more day to live, we would try to use our ability and our talents in serving God. We would use our talents and gain more in service to God. The song, "Here Am I, Lord, Send Me," would have more meaning to us. We would not put off things until tomorrow if I knew that I was going to die at this time tomorrow. Like Felix, he put off his obedience to the gospel. It says, "And as he reasoned," Paul did preach to Felix, "as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." We don't know if Felix ever obeyed the gospel. I doubt it very much. A person that knew they were going to die tomorrow and was not a Christian, I don't think they would put off their obedience. We would not spend time foolishly, knowing that every minute counts. Many have intended to obey God, but they died before they did. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. We wouldn't take for granted all the things that God gives us. We'd appreciate it if we knew we were going to die. So many forget the great sacrifices that Jesus paid on our behalf. God gave his Son to die for us. Jesus laid down his life for us. God commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so we would appreciate what Jesus has done for us. Praying for health and food and our families, well-being, wouldn't seem like a waste of time. We would spend a lot of time in prayer to God if we knew we were going to die tomorrow. James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift is from above. We wouldn't take chances doing questionable things. If I knew I was going to die at this time tomorrow, and I was thinking about doing something, and I wonder, well, would it be wrong for me to do that? Well, I wouldn't take the chances in doing something that was questionable. We would be very careful that we do everything that God tells us to do, and do the things God, and not do the things God tells us not to do. We would do things that we have. Do we do things that we have doubts about? In Romans 14 and verse 23, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so we'd make sure that what we did would be the right thing to do. If it's questionable, we would avoid it. We would be careful in religious matters. We would make sure that what we're doing is according to the Scriptures. We would be sure that we follow the Scriptures in all that we do. Many are following the doctrines of men. What would we do? We must put our house in order if we only had one more day to live. We should examine our life and ask ourselves, am I pleasing God? Am I trying to do everything that I can that God wants me to do? In 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And he says, examine yourselves. Make sure that you're right with God, that you're ready to die and face the Lord in the judgment. Also, we would be careful about criticizing others if we knew we were going to die this time tomorrow. We would reflect on all the time that we have wasted. We would spend time in study of God's Word. We would be interested in religious discussions and not worldly thoughts. We'd spend time in prayer. We would be faithful in our service to the Lord. I wouldn't argue about what God wants me to do. I would accept it and be willing to do it. We would fix all the wrongs that we have with others. Yes, if there's those that we know that have hard feelings toward us or that we've done wrong to someone, if I knew that I was going to die tomorrow, I'd try to make everything right with those that maybe I've done wrong to. We would forgive and pray for them. We wouldn't hold grudges toward others. In conclusion, we should live each day as though it were our last. It may be. Yes, there's 107 people die every minute. There's 153,000 that die every day. That's a lot of people that are dying every minute and every day. We should realize that there may not be a tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. We need to use our time wisely while we still have it. We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know when we're going to die. And so we need to be ready to be watching. We'll soon die and stand before the Lord in the judgment. If you're not a Christian, then you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, if you were knew for sure that you were going to die, you only had one more day to live, I'm sure you would examine yourselves and you'd try to make sure that you're right with God, that you were prepared to stand before Jesus in the judgment, give an account of your life. And so if you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you must have faith, you hear and have faith and repent, confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then be faithful and heaven will be your home. And so we may not be alive tomorrow. We don't know how long we have. We need to live each day one at a time. And so if you're subject in any way to the gospel call, why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?
Have you been to Jesus for